And a good Monday, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming all around the world on the Game Nashville app. What's going on? Chase McCabe, Marquise Munson, and guess what? We are both in the Wholesale Link Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. Marquise, it's so good to see your face.
It's good to see your face too, man, but don't invade my space. This has been my space.
Am I in your bubble?
This is my Terradome.
This is the bu-
I run this place now.
Yes, you do.
I'm the captain now, sir, in the studios.
I'm the captain now. Yeah, so good to be here.
It's good to see you again.
I'll say this. My drive-in this morning, three lanes on 440, let's go. I am all for that.
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed, but the traffic going to work is a lot easier when there's nobody out.
I cruised here this morning, but that was the thing that really stood out because the 440 project is basically done. I think they're fixing a couple things, but it's pretty much done. All three lanes are open on both sides, and I was all about that because you don't remember 440 how it was for years. The road was coming up. It was a horrible experience, and now it's just smooth and you got all that space. So that was my drive in this morning was 440. So,
well, I'm glad you remember how to get here.
Yeah, I had to put in the GPS. You know, it'd been so long. Had to throw in that address. No, I'm just kidding. I knew where to go. And so it's good to be here this morning, and hopefully in the near future it'll all be normal again. But just decided to come in, get some work done, see your smiling face, and talk a little bit of sports.
I need a haircut, so don't look too hard.
Already? Need another one?
I mean, I need it. My hair, I don't know what it is, but my hair usually grows back really fast, and I have to grow it for 3 months, obviously. So when I finally got a cut, it has not grown back that much since then. So I'm like, that's a good thing, but then the beard has to be cut a little bit. Clean shaven. I got to go back to see the family.
You got to look good. Got to look good for the mom.
Got to look good for the mom. Happy birthday to my mom today.
Happy birthday, Marquise's mom.
It is my mom's birthday today.
Very cool.
And she gave birth to this talented soul that you see on the other side of the glass.
That
I'm just being cocky.
She did. No, that's okay. You're allowed to do that. So speaking of being cocky, are the Patriots going to be cocky with another division championship this year after they signed a quarterback yesterday? Listen, this is the oh yeah, well, saw that coming. Cam Newton, Bill Belichick, together at last, the New England Patriots reportedly signing Cam to a 1-year deal. A lot of incentives involved in that 1 year, but I'm not surprised by this at all. He was obviously the best free agent quarterback available. As soon as he got released by the Panthers, I was thinking, all right, well, he'll end up with the Patriots eventually. We've talked about that on Darren Donick and Chase of how maybe it's not the best fit. I don't think to Belichick it matters what is perceived as the best fit. If he thinks it's going to fit, he will make it work. And that's exactly what he's going to do now. I never for a second believed that Jared Stidham was actually going to be the guy to follow Tom Brady with the New England Patriots. Could he eventually be the guy? Sure he could. But I believe that Cam Newton's going to come in there. You can say all you want that there's going to be a competition for the starting quarterback. I don't believe that for a second. Week one, I say Cam Newton is under center for the New England Patriots.
No, I do too. And I've watched Jared Stidham since college. And yeah, he beat the Alabama Crimson Tide 1 year. And he looked pretty good. But I never saw NFL starting quarterback in Jared Stidham. And that may come, you know, because you're working with Bill Belichick. You're working with some of the best offensive, you know, coaches around. Yeah, I mean, obviously his game's going to develop throughout the years. It's just not going to be this year. And I think they knew it. It was either going to be Jared Stidham starts the season, we're not going to tank, but we're not going to have a good season, and then draft a quarterback in the up-and-coming draft, or we're just going to sign a free agent quarterback, which they did option number two. And I knew that this was going to happen after the draft when they passed up on a guy like Jordan Love, who they could have easily had in the first round, passed up on him, and then let him go to the Packers. And they passed up on quarterbacks throughout the draft. So that made me think either they're very confident in Jared Stidham and what he has to offer, or they're going to sign a quarterback, and they're probably going to sign Cam Newton. And it's funny because when I was on Twitter yesterday and I saw all the tweets of Cam Newton's going to the Patriots, a lot of quote tweets of, not surprised. Not surprised at all. I mean, it's a pretty much a no-brainer. If Cam Newton is healthy, and that's going to obviously be the biggest question surrounding him, is he 100% healthy, you know, going into the season? You know, the whole scheme thing doesn't really bother me. I think he will provide what Tom Brady offered as far as a passing game, but he can also run the football. Right. And he can also help out, you know, Sony Michel and, you know, James White and help those guys out as well. Maybe they need a little bit more offensive, you know, weapons around him, you know, as far as wide receivers is concerned. Julian Edelman, you know, is a good option, but, you know, maybe you need a couple more. But I think this is a good deal for the Patriots, and it's kind of one of those situations to where, look, like, we both have something to prove this season. This is why we're going to sign a one-year deal. Cam Newton has to prove that, hey, the Panthers let me go prematurely. I know it was probably time for me to walk away and go somewhere else, and new change of scenery would have been the best for me. But they let me go, and I kind of feel a little, you know, some type of way about that. So I have something to prove this year, and nobody else signed me. And then for the Patriots, you're looking at it as, okay, so we don't have Tom Brady no more. Everybody thinks that, you know, Tom Brady is the reason why we have these championships and vice versa for Bill Belichick. We're going to prove that we can do it with any quarterback. And we're going to do it with Cam Newton, who's been, you know, probably a top 10 quarterback in the league for years. And when he's healthy, he's one of the most dynamic players in the league. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. I know the Bills are probably, you know, have you ever seen the Denzel gif where he like hits the desk? That's probably the Bills right now, because they had a perfect opportunity to take that division. And now I think that division's, once again, probably either Patriots or Bills' way.
So how will Cam Newton work in that offense with the New England Patriots? I believe that Josh McDaniels is a good enough offensive coordinator that he will make it work. Bill Belichick, we know what he is as a head coach. Dan Orlovsky with ESPN gave his opinion on how Cam Newton will work in the offense.
I think the fit's going to be very interesting, because if you look at the offense that New England has run over the last 20 years, it's not going to look anything like that. This is going to be an offense that's built upon a dominant offensive line, a really good run game, and they'll utilize a lot of the RPO game and try to find a bunch of one-on-one matchups. Now, Josh McDaniels, the New England Patriots offensive coordinator, was in Denver when they drafted Tim Tebow in the first round, and they did a lot of quarterback run. Zone reads with the quarterback. Again, the RPO game, trying to find those one-on-one matchups in the game leverage. And I would expect that the offense for the Patriots this year with Cam Newton will look a lot like the one that Josh McDaniels ran with Tim Tebow years ago in Denver.
Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Now, I'm gonna say this. We asked the question. We all know what Bill Belichick is as a head coach. He's a Hall of Famer. He has done everything there is to do, and he doesn't have to prove one thing. You can have that question on your mind of, okay, how good is he without Brady? How good is Brady without Belichick? Sure, that's going to be there. But the one that I'm really curious about now, because his name's mentioned every offseason, how good is Josh McDaniels without Tom Brady? Because we saw what it looked like in Denver when he, as Dan Orlovsky just mentioned, traded up, got Tim Tebow. Yes, they won a playoff game, but we saw how that went. It didn't work out. Now, do I believe Josh McDaniels has grown and matured and learned a lot since then, since being back with Belichick and the Patriots? Absolutely. But now it's time to see, is there another element to him as an OC, as a coach, that could parlay him into being a head coach? We're going to find out with Cam Newton.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you rather your pet project be Cam Newton, who's just dynamic, can run the football, can run those RPO plays with Sonny Michel and James White? Or would you rather do it with a quarterback that you drafted late in the rounds in Jared Stidham that you probably have no faith in? And that would have been a bad
look. I think they have faith in him.
I think they have faith in
just
him,
not
but,
yet.
But just not as a starter. And do you want to go into the season with Jared Stidham as your starting quarterback? And this is the reason why they made that move, is because they, like, look, Jared Stidham's going to be good, but I'm not going into the season, my pet project's going to be Jared Stidham, when Cam Newton is working out in L.A. and is out here looking, you know, better than he's ever been. But, you know, let's try him out for a year. And that's what I'd rather do. This is Josh McDaniels' chance to possibly be back in those head coaching conversations again, like every other Bill Belichick, you know, disciple that he had. He has an opportunity to do that once again with Cam Newton as his quarterback. And I think the Patriots cannot do no wrong with Cam. Like, as long as he's healthy, as long as he's 100%.
I'm not going to go that far.
I don't think they can do wrong with Cam Newton. Like, I think he's good. I've always thought Cam Newton was a top 10 quarterback. Yeah, he's had some slumps, especially last season, you know, playing a part with injuries. But I think for the better part of his career, I mean, you can't ignore a guy who has close to 30,000 yards passing. You can't ignore that. He's been a top five, you know, quarterback at least five seasons of his career. He's been an MVP. So it's just, I don't think they can do wrong in this situation. I think they made the right decision by, you know, going with Cam Newton. If he's not healthy, we'll go to our original plan and go with Jared Stidham. If he is healthy, let's go win the division once again.
So do you, you think they're now the favorite in the division? Or is it Buffalo still?
I think because of their – if their defense stays exactly the same as they did last year, if they play as dominant as they were last year, I think it's neck and neck between them and the Bills. But I just – I saw one good season of Josh Allen, and it's kind of like I got to see another one before I make that determination of whether or not Josh Allen isn't, you know, one of those quarterbacks that can win his team a division. But they're – I mean – They're the same pedigree. They got the defense to win the game, but it's a matter of who's the better quarterback in the situation. Is it Josh Allen, who showed bricks of greatness last year but also shown some boneheaded decisions like you saw in the playoffs? Or is it going to be Cam Newton, who, if 100%, he can be that caliber player too? So it all depends on the quarterback that shows up, but I think I'm going to go Patriots.
Here's what I think could possibly happen. I think Buffalo could win the division and knock New England off the throne simply because – Cam was signed so late, so now he's getting into the offseason meetings. You obviously don't have OTAs. He can't work out with people, at least he's not supposed to, and you're going to be behind the eight ball once you get him in there to try and teach him the offense. You learn him, all of that stuff. So they're probably going to start off slow, even though the Patriots do that historically. They did with Brady. They're probably going to start off slow. I could see Buffalo winning the division, New England getting in on a wild card, and then going on a run just because they're New England.
Yeah, I can see. I like the Bills. I'm just not 100% on
I'm not
Josh
sold
Allen.
On him.
I'm just not 100% on Josh Allen yet. I have years of work from Cam Newton and what he's been able to do, so I can determine whether or not I think. Now, obviously, I don't know this new Cam Newton that we're probably going to get, this Cameron Newton that we're going to get with the New England Patriots. You know, we haven't seen him yet, but I just think I'm going with the quarterback that I trust the most in the situation. That's why I'm probably going with the Patriots. I think their defenses are parallel and they're very similar, but I'm going with the quarterback that I trust. Now, Josh Allen can prove me wrong just like he did when, you know, he came here and beat the Titans. I didn't think he was going to do that, but sure enough, he did. So
missed field goals had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, a lot of it, but I'm going to go with the quarterback I trust, and I'm going to go with Cam Newton in that one.
So we've talked about the new Patriots quarterback. When we come back, we'll talk about the old Patriots quarterback and what he's up to down in Tampa. It's The Rundown, 615-737-1025. Chase and Marquise on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson, Ryan Porth is out this weekend. Congratulations to Ryan and his wife, Amanda, as they tied the knot this weekend and now head off on their honeymoon. So we got an interesting text during the break, Marquise. This comes from Ben. What if they agreed to the deal a while ago but told him they would not announce it until the punishment came out to divert attention? Because we haven't mentioned that yet. That also coming down yesterday, the Patriots got hit. Remember when they had that advance crew that was, they were filming something for the Patriots website and they were filming the Bengals sideline in typical Patriots fashion. Oh, no, we didn't mean to do that. And Belichick's like, I didn't know anything about it. Nothing to see here. Well, they got hit with a little punishment yesterday, or coming out today, yesterday, whenever it was. $1.1 million they have been fined. They lose a draft pick. And they can't, the crew is basically banned from doing anything is the big thing, but they lose a third round pick in the 2021 draft, for what happened last year on December 8th between the Bengals and the Browns. So I think that Ben could be onto something, 'cause that would be so Belichick and so Patriots to wait and announce Cam Newton is signed once the punishment comes out. Because guess what we're talking about? We're talking about Cam Newton. We're not talking about the punishment.
Absolutely. That was the first segment of the show. Like, if that news would have broke yesterday, that probably would have been the lead of the show. Of basically talking about how the Patriots have a reputation for being a bunch of cheaters sometimes. You know, Deflategate, you know, all these other gates, boundaries, you know.
A lot of gates.
But we're talking about Cam Newton signing. Look, I think the deal is long overdue. I think it would have been happened, but hey, perfect timing, right? Hey, we signed Cam Newton on a Sunday, and oh yeah, by the way, we lost the draft pick, but that's all cool. Cam Newton, he signed. So especially when they have media availability, guess what the topic of conversation is going to be with them? A lot of questions about Cam Newton. A lot of questions about how Cam Newton's going to fit in that offense. No questions about, so what are you going to do without, you know, that first, that third, fourth pick that you guys are losing?
The media, they're not going to ignore it, especially like the guys like Mike Reese that have covered him for a long time. And he's got a BS meter, so he knows how to read through that. So they're not going to ignore it, but it's certainly very, very Patriots
but
to do this.
It's easier to gloss over.
Sure.
It's easier to gloss over when you have a starting quarterback and you have a guy who's a former MVP. If they would have announced Jared Stidham was the starting quarterback going into the season, that wouldn't have been news. We'd still be talking about what's going on as far as this. But now the news is Cam Newton. I think they showed like a sound effects on NFL Network of Cam Newton.
Yep.
And that's, you know, it's created a diversion, but hey, it's good. It's good. All publicity is good publicity sometimes.
By the way, I turned on NFL Network when I got here because I in my office, I don't have it, and so I haven't been able to watch it as much. And so I turn it on thinking I'm going to see my girl Kay, and No Good Morning Football today. They're showing sound effects, and now I'm watching Bucks and Giants from week 3.
Look, Good Morning Football, I'd much rather watch that than to watch Jameis Winston, and I'm assuming this is Daniel Jones because it's week 3. So I'm assuming Daniel Jones versus Jameis Winston.
Actually, I think it's Eli.
It's still Eli. I don't remember when Daniel Jones started, but
you're right. It is Daniel Jones.
Yeah, so Daniel Jones versus Jameis Winston is on TV right now. I'd much rather watch Good Morning Football.
Yeah, I'm all about some Good Morning Football. So speaking of the Bucks, nice little transition there. Tom Brady, now their starting quarterback. Well, if you haven't been keeping up, Floyd and I talked about this on Friday when I was filling in for Jared. Tom has been working out with a bunch of his new teammates down in Tampa. Now, obviously, we're in the middle of a pandemic. It has raised some attention of, should they be doing that right now? Before we get into it, Jeff Darlington of ESPN was asked about D'Amari Smith, who is the head of the Players Association, criticizing Tom Brady and players on their workouts.
Interesting, Jay. You just mentioned Matt Stafford and Russell Wilson. I reached out to 3 other franchise quarterbacks and just asked them very simply about Tom Brady's workouts. Are you offended? Are you bothered? Do you feel like he is gaining an unfair advantage by holding these workouts? And all of them responded almost laughably. Like, they were almost like, no, that's cool. We're doing kind of the similar. To that point, I think it's important to note that some players might be practicing better health standards than others when they're doing these workouts. But to D'Amoris Smith's point, the executive director of the NFLPA, one other added note that he made in his comments was that essentially this is not just about protecting yourself now. It's also about the negotiations that will occur between the NFLPA and the NFL when it comes to gaining protections for players about coronavirus once the season actually starts. Smith knows that if he's going to negotiate with ownership and try to point to the fact that these players are going out there and risking their lives during the season, and owners point toward these workouts and saying they're just fine with it. Look what they did this summer. It makes it more difficult on the union. So there is a business side of this as well that's important. And what basically Smith is saying, that as a union, it's stronger if everybody kind of cohesively stays together and follows some rules now, as opposed to making it more difficult in the future.
Jeff Darlington of ESPN. And look, D'Amoris Smith's job is the business side for the players. I mean, he is the negotiator, the lead negotiator for the players. So I certainly get it from that point. From a football standpoint, with Tom Brady being new to the team, if this were any other time, I would understand it. But the optics aren't very good because you're trying to preach that, all right, social distancing, and we're not having OTAs, and we're going to be very, very careful. We want to start the season on time, but there are spikes, especially in Florida right now with this. And then you have the star quarterback of the NFL, the face of the league, out there with his teammates working out, and then the Instagram posts of the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And, you know, it's just not a good look for Brady to do that. So I certainly understand the trepidation on the part of DeMaurice Smith.
Yeah, no, I agree with him 100% on this. But I will say, I don't think we're making this a big deal if Tom Brady didn't post that on Instagram. I think that post is making it seem like you just don't take this, what's going on, serious by saying the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. It's like you're not taking what's going on seriously. And look, players are working out together. This is not just the NFL. It's NBA. It's baseball. I seen a video of LeBron James playing a full court game in a gym with Ben Simmons and a couple of other guys just a couple weeks ago. It's happening all across sports. But what do you expect these guys to do? Do you expect these guys to have a late start and then all of a sudden they go into the season not conditioned at all, and then all of a sudden they get hurt and they got to suffer an injury because they haven't played football or basketball or baseball or whatever for months? So I understand the workout part of it. I understand, you know, wanting to get with it, especially when you have a new team, wanting to get comfortable with the new team. We see this every year when you get a new player or a quarterback gets a new wide receiver. You always see them work out in the offseason together to kind of get a chemistry together before August. And that's fine, but it's just, I think with the social media post, and obviously we're in a different time, so obviously things got to be adjusted accordingly. It's not like they had, you know, a bunch of guys out there. It was just a few. So I understand what Smith is talking about and wanting to, look, if I'm going to protect you guys when it comes to the actual season and getting through this through a season, like, you guys got to bear with me and just be like, hey, let's just cut off workouts for a couple weeks until we can figure this thing out.
Or here's an idea. Don't publicize it.
Yes, well, that's what I mean.
That's my thing. Brady wants to, you know, Brady wants to come across sometimes as, oh, yeah, the haters and all that. Well, when you get on your Instagram, I will say this to anybody. If you don't want people to give you attention, then stop doing things to get attention on social media. Don't post a selfie or don't post a picture that you don't want people to talk about. And if you're Tom Brady, don't get on there and say the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. You know, out here doing the work or showing a picture of you and Gronk. I mean, them people won't come after you. It's that simple, because he has now brought attention to himself, which he does on purpose. He's always been that way. And now you got DeMaurice Smith that's having to get involved. And I agree with D. Smith. I totally understand where he's coming from, because this is going to come back to bite him. Because here in a few years, if there's something that they need to negotiate with the league about when it comes to player safety, Goodell and the league are going to go, well, it didn't hurt Tom. I mean, Tom was out there working out during the coronavirus with, you know, half his offense and his center, and you know, it wasn't a big deal then. Other quarterbacks were working out, you know, with their teammates. I know that Tannehill and Jonnu Smith have gotten together, that's not a big deal because it's just the two of them, but that type of stuff that Brady does, it eventually comes back around because it's this never-ending circle. So if you don't want the attention, then don't do things to get the attention.
Absolutely. Don't press in.
Don't press in.
Do not press in. And even in LeBron's situation with Ben Simmons, he posted it on Instagram, but it wasn't on LeBron's official Instagram. It was on his Clutch Sports Instagram, but they worked out just Thursday. And I get you want to work out with your teammates. I get you want to have, you know, get some chemistry. And there's other ways to do that. Maybe do a Zoom call. I don't know. But, you know, especially when Florida is the hotbed for everything that's going on right now, it's a bad look for you. And when you post it on social media, here's the reason why we're not. You know, he mentioned a lot of guys. He mentioned Matt Stafford. He mentioned Russell Wilson. There's a reason why we're talking about Tom Brady doing this and not Russell Wilson or Matt Stafford. Because I didn't see Russell Wilson or Matt Stafford doing this at all.
Right. You didn't even know until somebody said something.
I didn't know until Jeff Darlington just said that. You know, so look, Brady, stay off of social media. Focus on getting ready for the season. and let the NFLPA do their thing, because obviously this is going to be a tough situation for him, and obviously he's going to be working on your safety. And, you know, so just let him do his thing and kick back and relax and enjoy your wife and your beautiful house that you probably have in Tampa. Go work out with your
kids. It's
actually
Derek Jeter's house. He's renting Derek Jeter's house.
Oh, yeah. Lucky.
I know. How about that?
Lucky, lucky, lucky. Go enjoy that lucky lifestyle that you live, Brady. And just kick back for a minute. Go throw the football with your kids. I don't know. But just, you know, just let this NFLPA thing work itself out first before, you know, you go putting stuff on social media about how you're working out and how you have no fear but fear itself. So, Brady, stay out. Look, I like Brady on social media because we didn't get it for a while.
Yeah.
But, you know, calm it down a little bit, Brady.
Just got to tone it back. Tone it back. Just bring it on back a little bit.
Bring it all back. You don't have to put your workouts. I don't like when regular people do that. There's someone in particular that you know, Chase, that posts a lot of workout videos.
A lot of them.
And guess what? I don't care. Like, I just don't. I don't care if you're working out. Only, you know, I just don't care. I don't post workout videos because guess what? Nobody cares about what my skinny butt is lifting. No one cares. So you don't have to post that on social media because guess what? Nobody cares. We know you're working. You're an NFL player. You've been doing this for years. We know you work out. We know that you work out with your teammates. You don't have to showcase that, especially during a pandemic when we're supposed to be social distancing.
I'll say this. You do you. You. If you're not Tom Brady, you do you. It doesn't matter. But if you're Tom Brady, people are going to criticize you for it, and they're going to come after you. And that's exactly what is happening. But who knows? One thing we do know, Marquise, and I know you're very excited about this, the NBA, the schedule is out. We will get your thoughts as our chief NBA correspondent on this. We will discuss that when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase O'Mac, Marquise Munson here with you. The NBA has a schedule. July 30th, it all gets underway with the Utah Jazz taking on who? Zion and the New Orleans Pelicans. On TNT, and then the nightcap, the Battle of L.A. in Orlando, the Clippers taking on the Lakers. So, Marquise, I know that you are very excited. I am excited, too. We have discussed all weekend with our gambling insider of what the lines look like.
That's why I played that song.
I know.
That is the main reason.
I know, because we have basketball that we can talk about, that we can watch, that we can bet on. Here's my favorite part of this entire thing. That on Friday, July 31st, and if you look at this schedule just about every day, we have day basketball. You can watch games starting at 12:30 on the 31st. The Grizz will play Portland that day at 2 o'clock. So there's going to be all this basketball that you can watch during the day. For those of us that have been so starved for sports, it's going to be back in full swing with the NBA. And obviously baseball is going to be getting underway too. The MLS is going to be getting underway, and the NHL hopefully soon after basketball. So this is huge. This is awesome.
Man, look, when I saw 7:31 and I saw seven games, I almost foamed at the mouth. I was just almost like I was shaking. I didn't know what to do with myself. Look, here's how dedicated I was to this, Chase. So I didn't know about the actual schedule release until like that day. And I've already made plans to go out with the lady and her friends. And I was like, okay, I'll do this. But then I have to like watch the schedule. So I had my phone out the entire time. I did not say a word to any of them. All I was doing was watching this schedule get released. And I was just like, this is amazing. And it's exciting. It seems like it's like March Madness almost, to where you're getting a game almost all day every day. NBA knows what it's doing with this. Usually you'll get like two games, you know, on national television, but you're getting like seven, eight games a day. And to me, that's a lot of basketball. And obviously, you know, I'm going to have to watch the Wizards versus the Magic at some point just because that's, you know, how much I miss basketball. It's just, it's awesome. It's good exposure for them as the NBA to basically say, hey, you've been without sports for all this time. We're going to give you seven games a day. How about that? And it starts off on that Thursday. And look, I'm excited that it's finally out. Like, NBA is just, they're just cranking them out, man. They just, they know their plan. They know what they want to do, and they're going to do it. The only thing is going to be concerning is players backing out. And yep. outside of that, this is amazing. This is going to be fun to watch.
I mean, there are probably going to be, and we've been talking about this for weeks, there's going to be some players that back out. There are going to be some players that are committed right now, but then they're going to be like, maybe not.
Yeah, if you bet on the Nets, unfortunately, I hate to tell you that Wilson Chandler also is backing out. So you don't have Wilson Chandler, you don't have, and he's not like the biggest star in the world, but you don't have Wilson Chandler, you don't have Kyrie Irving, you don't have Kevin Durant. The Nets really don't have anybody. They may even drop out of the playoffs. I don't know if the Wizards are going to be that bad. But players are, but I don't see any stars backing out. I don't see the LeBron Jameses of the world, the Anthony Davises.
LeBron say we hooping.
Yeah, Giannis. If LeBron say we hooping, we all hooping. But according to Wilson Channel, he didn't get that memo. But he has, you know, family issues, and that's understandable. And a lot of guys are probably going to do that. But look, for the most part, even if it's G League players that they replace them with, it's going to be exciting basketball because you're still going to get your LeBrons, you're still going to get your Zions, and you're still going to get your, you know, Giannises and all those other good players. So it's going to be exciting basketball, even if a few players back out.
So Brian Windhorst of ESPN, he did bring some things up, though, when he was on yesterday. He said he doesn't think you're going to see any of the star players play back-to-back games, and that player availability will definitely be a hot topic for the first few weeks.
Some of these teams at the top have built cushions in the standings, and they don't have to fight for seeding or fight for playoff positioning, and they intend to use that, I believe. And this could end up, for some of the teams, it's going to be every game is going to be life and death. But for some of these teams, this is going to be like an 8-game preseason. So we're going to get some good matchups, but player availability is going to be a constant topic over that first 2.5 weeks.
Brian Windhorst of ESPN. Sure, you're going to have that because you're getting right back into a season. You have a compacted schedule. So this is where some of the younger guys on the roster or even veteran players that we're seeing that are being signed to replace some of these guys that aren't going to play, they're going to be a factor because they're going to get more minutes. The minutes are going to be spread around more than we see normally because you want to try and preserve these guys. You're not going to just rush them into this.
No, absolutely.
Load management is going to be very important.
It's still going to be load management. Look, I know everybody's excited for that first game with the Lakers and the Clippers, and that's going to be a good game, but look, I don't see LeBron James playing this entire schedule. I can see him playing maybe 4 games just to get him back into hooping shape. Look, they got to play the Raptors, and then they got to play the Jazz, Thunder, Rockets, Pacers. They pretty much got winning teams. I think once it gets down to when the Lakers play the Pacers, the Nuggets, and the Kings, I don't think you'll see LeBron James. So that's 5 games that you possibly will have a chance to see LeBron James play, you know, basketball in this format as far. But I do agree. Like, I think if you're a top team, if you're the Lakers, if you're the Clippers, unless you really, because like, are we really playing for seeds at this point? You're really just playing for matchups at this point. You're not playing for home court. You're playing for matchups. So yeah, if you see that there's a 4 seed that you possibly would want to play, you know, yeah, cool. If LeBron wants to drop down to a 2 seed because he doesn't want to play Zion in the first round or the Pelicans, then, you know, maybe they sit out players. So it's all about seeding. It's not no home court advantage. None of that's going to happen. So it's really no point for a lot of those top teams to even play or for those players to play. It's really for the 9 seeds, the 8 seeds, the 7 seeds who want to climb up and you know, maybe get a easier matchup. So that's what it's going to be all about.
Yeah, so speaking of easier matchups, one thing that has stood out to me on this is I do believe that the NBA is creating a narrative, so to speak. You look at the schedule for New Orleans, the Pelicans. Obviously, it would appear that the NBA really wants Zion Williamson in the playoffs. They want that. They know that that's going to get eyes on their sport, that people are going to watch Zion. New Orleans, not great. Shouldn't be in, but they're there. They're in this tournament, this return to play, and so they have an opportunity to try and make the playoffs. And looking at their schedule, you can tell that the NBA would like to see them make the playoffs.
Look, the NBA is Chase. It's a lot like us who like wrestling. They're creating storylines.
Oh yeah.
And what's a better storyline than having Zion Williamson and the Pelicans, who are at the bottom of the barrel in the Western Conference, now all of a sudden get into the playoffs? And guess who they could possibly play in the first round? The Los Angeles Lakers. Anthony Davis's former team, LeBron versus his former teammates, Zion, the future of the league versus LeBron James, who's the president of the league. Imagine that being a first round matchup, the Pelicans, Zion versus LeBron James. That's money. That's printed money for the NBA. That is ratings galore. And of course they want that. Ja Morant, I love the guy. Love him. Love Damian Lillard. But if you want to give me a marquee matchup that I can put like on primetime TV, it's going to be LeBron versus Zion. So did they conspire to make the Grizzlies schedule, who the Grizzlies do have the hardest schedule of the whole league? Do they conspire to kind of drop the Grizzlies down? Maybe so. But, you know, look, I like good basketball. I don't really need the storylines, but for outsiders, people who are, you know, are kind of on the fence with the sport, Zion versus LeBron James is perfect TV for them. I don't think Ja Morant or Damian Lillard with the Blazers and Grizzlies respectively is that matchup for LeBron James to be marquee headline.
I'll disagree on Ja Morant. I think Ja Morant's
outsider perspective though. From our perspective who like watch basketball, who watch Ja Morant, it's perfect. It's perfect for us. I don't care either or. I think all three of those teams have a good chance to have a really good series with the Lakers. I'm more worried about the Blazers, to be honest with you, than any of those teams. But I just think from an outsider perspective, when you hear Zion versus LeBron James, it's like, oh, I'm in.
Yeah, but I think that in time, Ja Morant will be on the John Morant's going to put the Grizzlies on the map because people are going to pay attention
to
Ja Morant.
Oh, he will.
Maybe not yet. But this is what I'll say to this. This is what the NBA needs right now. And just stay with me on what I'm saying. They don't need you necessarily because you're going to watch. You're an NBA fan. You are a diehard NBA fan. So all the diehard NBA fans, they know they got. They don't have to worry about them. But for people like me that I just casually follow the sport, I'm not a diehard NBA fan, Zion versus LeBron draws me in. And it draws in the casual fans or it draws in the people that aren't fans. Every sport is going to be after the same thing once they come back. Trying to get new eyeballs. It's what we've been saying for weeks on NASCAR. And NASCAR has been back for weeks. They have been back, and their ratings have gone up. People are paying attention. Bernard Pollard is tweeting every day asking questions about NASCAR. And there are a lot of other factors with it. I understand that. Everything going on with Bubba Wallace and Black Lives Matter, that has certainly helped their cause. But it's the only game in town. The UFC, the one of the only games in town. WWE never went away. But you're seeing that you are seeing that NASCAR is getting more eyes on their sport because people want to have something to do. Now the other sports are all going to be coming back around the same time, so they're going to be jockeying for position because July and August could be some of the greatest sports months that we have ever had because everybody's going to be back at once. And, oh, by the way, if all goes to plan – the NFL comes back towards the end of August through August with the preseason and then the regular season starting in September. So it's going to be wild and it's going to be awesome.
It is. It's amazing. I don't even know what to do with myself. I was like, man, I may need to take a couple of days off. I may need to take July 31st off because I just need to just sit down.
It's my mom's birthday.
I need to just happy birthday. But, you know, down the line, because I'll probably forget. I'll probably forget then because I'll be watching a lot of NBA basketball. And it is exciting. For me, I'm going to always watch. And we say the same thing with MLB. Like, and that's the reason why they're in the situation they're in now. They know that they got the casual fans. They got the Willie Donicks and the Chase McCabes and, you know, the Darren McFarlanes and sometimes even me. They know that, so they're not catering to me. They're catering to me more so than, you know, the outside people who are going to watch their sport. I think this is the perfect opportunity for the NBA to once again gather new fans who probably disappeared because they don't like the new NBA style and they do all these fouls and they score too much and all this other stuff, they're going to get those fans back because you're going to have some marquee matchups and you're going to have sports, which we haven't had in 4 months. And you're going to have seven. If you missed the NCAA tournament, guess what? You basically got the NCAA tournament with this playoff format because you're going to have seven games in one day. And so you probably won't know what to do with yourself.
I had a dream the other night that I was watching the NCAA tournament and had my two TVs set up.
Who was the teams that were playing?
I don't even remember. I just remember watching basketball, watching, and it was the tournament. Like, I remember them saying that it was a tournament. That's going to be the cool thing. You know, we have two TVs in here, so I got NFL Network and ESPN on right now. In my office at home where I've been doing the show the last 3.5 months, I have two TVs set up, plus I can put it on, you know, a computer monitor in front of me. They're gonna get some use. There's gonna be a lot to watch here in the next few weeks, and I cannot wait for it. Speaking of things to watch, I know there's a documentary that Marquise wants to bring up that's gonna be happening, and a big weekend in NASCAR at Pocono. It's the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stream 102.5 The Game from anywhere. Download the Game Nashville app, enable our Alexa skill or Google Home, and ask to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can live stream from the website, thegamenashville.com. Welcome back to the Rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McKay, Marquise Munson, live at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Darren Donick and Chase coming up in just a few minutes. Actually, it's just Donick and Chase this week as we get through some vacations. I hope D-Mac has a nice vacation with the family. Happy anniversary to you and Lauren. But a documentary is coming out that I know you're excited about, Marquise, because we all remember several years ago watching ESPN and watching LeBron James make the decision where he decides at that point that he's going to take his talents to South Beach, play with D-Wade, play with Chris Bosh, and play for the Miami Heat, this being the first time that he left Cleveland. A lot of people gave him a hard time, and I tend to agree that he had good intentions, raising money for the Girls and Boys Club and what he was doing with that. It just came off very self-centering of how he put the spotlight on himself to make his free agency decision, and so it rubbed people the wrong way, especially in Cleveland. Now, he made up for it a few years later when he left Miami and he went back to the Cavs and won a championship, and so when he left for L.A., nobody really batted an eye this time around, but I know there's a documentary about this coming up.
Well, yeah, it aired last night on ESPN. It's called Backstory.
Backstory, yeah.
Backstory, and it's a 1 hour. Look, just take 1 hour of your day. Every Sunday is usually booked with documentaries, except, you know, for Long Gone Summer, which a lot of you didn't watch because, you know, the ratings were pretty low. But Backstory, you know, dropped last night, and it basically gave an in-depth feature on LeBron James' decision. For one, LeBron didn't even come up with the decision. It was actually a fan and a message board who said, hey, they should air this on TV. They should air LeBron's announcement on TV. And ESPN, you know, John Skipper took the ball and ran with it. And Bill Simmons, it's funny because Bill Simmons is in the documentary saying, or he's not in the documentary, but he's basically one of the people who went to LeBron's camp and said, hey, you should, you know, air, you know, the decision on, you know, ESPN. And he did that. And then Bill Simmons was the first one to criticize LeBron James after the decision was aired. And it basically just gave an in-depth of what went on, how everything came about when it came, you know, came together. Maverick Carter and Rich Paul, LeBron's, you know, his crew, was basically young and in the business and trying to learn the business, obviously. And that was one of the moves that was, you know, frowned upon, and they learned from it, and then they built this billion, almost close to billion-dollar organization after it because of it, you know, and it's just funny watching that stuff, how they got, you know, because Bill Lee was going to host it, and then Stuart Scott was going to host it, and then Jim Gray ended up hosting it, and then, like, it was just a disaster. It was a bad hour of TV, probably one of the worst hours of TV. I waited to the end of it because I'm in journalism. I know the routine of they're probably going to make this announcement at the end of it, so sure. I'm just going to wait because I don't really care about what LeBron has to say about whatever. And you could tell LeBron was very uncomfortable in the whole situation, and he didn't want to do it, but, you know, he did it, and ESPN got a lot of ratings for it, and You know,
I think if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was on ABC as well.
Yeah, it was on ABC and ESPN.
Yeah.
And they didn't want Jim Gray hosting it. They wanted one of their own people to host it. I think it would have been a lot better TV if it was Stuart Scott, to be honest with you.
Scott, or you said Bob Lee.
Yeah, Bob Lee, he would have been good with it too, but they hired an outsider in Jim Gray, and they basically, you can tell, and they've showed some back behind-the-scenes footage of them basically controlling the narrative. Maverick Carter walking up to Jim Gray and say, hey, ask LeBron these questions. And, you know, it was very in-depth, and LeBron became the heel afterwards, and he became a villain. And, you know, the rest is history. He went back to Cleveland, won a championship, and then all of a sudden he's once again the hero. So it's very in-depth. It's 1 hour. It's great journalism, which I love, and I love great journalism. So I would watch it. It's 1 hour of your time. Just watch it. And it's some interesting backstories about how that decision was underway.
Yeah, and I know we're going to talk about it even more because Willie watched it too. I'll have to go back and check it out. The race ran late, and then I had
Hey, I understand, man. Denny Hamlin, how about that?
Well, Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin, because there were two races this weekend. And by the way, if you follow me on Twitter at Chase on Game, I give NASCAR picks, and they're for bet. You know, I use the betting odds from BetMGM and Music City Bets. I throw those out there, and I do racing picks every week. And so Saturday I did them, and I usually give three and then a long shot. I had Kevin Harvick. So Kevin Harvick won on Saturday. I thought he could possibly do it again, and he almost did on Sunday, but I also had Denny Hamlin, and because Denny Hamlin is very, very good at Pocono. So Harvick and Hamlin this year, each with three. Well, no, Hamlin now has four wins. So pretty good so far, as they are more than halfway through the season. I liked the doubleheader weekend. For those of you that didn't know, this was actually scheduled. This was not due to the pandemic. The plan all along was to experiment to see how a doubleheader weekend would work, and they did it. And
How did you think it worked from a NASCAR viewer's perspective?
I think it was fun. I thought the racing on Saturday was a little better than yesterday. They used the same car. If you changed engines, you had to go to the rear of the field, and so a couple cars did do that. But they inverted the field, which I thought was cool. So for instance, Harvick won the race on Saturday. He started 20th on Sunday, and I think it was Stenhouse that finished 20th on Saturday. He started from the pole and then had to go to the back because he changed engine. So I liked it. I liked the format. I think they definitely have something there. I can tell you right now, we haven't seen next year's schedule. It's going to have doubleheader weekends, and it's going to have midweek races.
Is it going to be more or less?
What do you mean? More than what we have
more doubleheaders?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think it'll be more than one, and I think there'll be some midweek races too. If I had to guess, and I don't know this, but if I had to guess, they're probably going to figure out a way to knock a month or more off the season. Still have 38 races, 36 points races, but they're going to try and knock a month off the calendar with midweek and doubleheaders. And like Pocono, for instance, they had two race weekends. Now they're done. They've knocked out their two races. They didn't lose any races. They cut them back and they made them shorter, which, thank you, because the racing at Pocono, they had 500 miles or 400 miles for a long time, and then they cut them to 400 miles, and it's just way too long. Shorter races are better. I don't care what anybody will tell you. Shorter races are the strategies there. They're much better. So I enjoyed it this weekend from Pocono. Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, get it done. That is going to do it for the rundown on this Monday. Marquise, good to see your face, but don't worry, stick around. Darren, Donick, and Chase. No Darren, just Donick and Chase this week. That is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.